I thought it would be a good idea to study about the Lord's Supper, why we take it the way we take it to start with. In order to study this, we have to go to the origin. And that is in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Beginning with verse 15. In this chapter, of course, most of us know the story where God told Moses that he has to take a lamb, 1 year old, a male, takes it on the 10th of the month, keeps it to the 14th of the month, and then he kills it on the 14th of the month in the evening. And then he told him to take the blood of that lamb and spray it over the post of the door, so that when the destroying angel comes, he would see the blood and pass over the Hebrews in order to do his job with the Egyptians. Now this is the beginning of that chapter. It tells us that. Then in verse 15, that in the feast of the Passover is not. It's amazing. I always wondered why God gave them to have two feasts in the same week. It was the feast of the Passover and the feast of the unleavened bread. The feast of the Passover is one day, the 14th of Nisan, which is of course coincides with the month of April in our calendar. But the feast of the unleavened bread, it was supposed to be observed for a whole week, 7 days. And I was wondering why, until I started studying the Bible. Now let's see what the Bible says here about this particular feast in verse 15 of chapter 12 of Exodus. He said, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven, that is the yeast, out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. That means it's something like a big celebration. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought you your armies, that is, your hosts, so many of you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his word. Here the Bible is telling us about this unleavened bread. And he's saying very, not just adamantly, but with tremendous force, that I don't want bread with yeast. I don't want that. I don't want even to see yeast in your homes from the first day till the last day of that feast for 7 days. No yeast at all. Why? We have to understand that whatever God did was not a random situation. God always did something in order to explain the plan of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to accomplish on the cross of Calvary sooner than they thought. And it did happen, of course, in our days 2,000 years ago. Why not unleavened bread? Everybody loved bread with yeast in it. Why? Because when you put yeast and let it stay for a few hours, it rises. And when you bake it, people from the third black. They smell it and say, oh man, I wish I was in that house to eat that bread. People love bread. You know, frankly, I ate bread with everything. I love bread. And I loved so much bread, I became 335 pounds eating bread. But you know something? That's why finally I said, no way. I'm going to stop that. And I stopped bread. I stopped eating bread. I still cheat a little bit sometimes. But I stopped eating bread, rice, potatoes. And that's the only three things I stopped eating. And I try not to eat after 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. I lost 100 and some pounds. I mean, that's fantastic. Praise the Lord, just from eating bread. Now, the thing is, bread, did you notice? It doesn't matter what you eat. Try to eat every day hamburger or every meal. By the end of the third day, maybe if you see a hamburger, you'll vomit. You know, try to eat chicken every day. It doesn't work. The only thing that you can eat every meal is bread, and you cannot get tired of it. But we like our bread to be good bread. That's why you go to the store. Some bread is so good. I mean, even it looks good. You look at the price, you turn your back and run because the price is so high. You know, it's because bread is so attractive to man. And this is something man somehow cannot get tired of it. And that's why today they even have a tremendous number of schools that teach people how to bake and to bake good bread. But did you notice they teach them to put what? Yeast in it. That very same thing that makes it look so good is literally the cause of its destruction. It's a matter of time. Just a little time. That bread that has feast that everybody smelled and really desired and wanted, all of a sudden it started to get green. And then it spoiled and nobody want to touch it. It's a matter of time. Why? Because of the yeast. This is exactly the same. God created us whole, perfect, without sin. But the yeast got into us. And that very same yeast that got into us literally corrupted us and caused literally our death. That's the yeast. And that's because of the sin of Adam, who was the first man on the face of the earth. Every one of his descendants got the same result because death came by one man. Except one person that was born in this earth without this yeast, without this leaven, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Exodus, God was trying to show the world how this bread of life is going to be without the yeast in him. That is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want leaven, not even in your homes. Okay, I could hide it in the cabinet there. Nobody's going to see it. He didn't want it in the house. Take it, throw it outside in the garbage. Because I don't want it even close to where you may think of using it. That bread ought to be unleavened. Why? Because it represented the Holy One that's going to come from heaven to accomplish the plan of salvation. And if anyone uses it or even has it in his house, he will be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Now here we see that God is showing us that this leaven literally represented the corruption that comes from sin. It represents sin. And he said, I want this bread that you eat for that particular feast that reminded you how you were slaves in Israel. And now how I freed you from under the heavy slavery of Pharaoh. I want you to be reminded by that bread you want. I want you to eat that bread every year for 7 days, that you may be reminded where you were and where you're ending. And that's exactly the picture of us in our relationship with God. We were under slavery of sin and Satan, and Christ, the bread of life, saved us and freed us. Now, Jesus is the bread of life. Did you notice about something here? Let me read something for you. In Deuteronomy, even in Exodus and Deuteronomy, it says, this will be eaten in haste. This is going to be eaten, the bread of haste. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 4. It said, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days anywhere in this country or in your homes. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed in the first day at even, that's in the evening, remain until night, remain all night until the morning. Then Exodus chapter 13 verse 3, it says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Then I'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3. And that's the one I really would like you to look at with me. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it, with your meal, that is. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou comest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Here the Bible is calling it the bread of affliction and the bread of faith, of haste. Now, we mentioned why. Because God did not want any yeast in it which represented sin and Satan. But he called it the bread of haste. As a matter of fact, it's known among us the Jews as the bread of haste. Why? Because they had to hurry out of Egypt. They did not have time to wait for the bread to rise and bake. They had to take. They made the dough, put the dough on their backs, and left the country out of Egypt because they had to leave in haste. This is what they called the bread of haste. Jesus is the bread of life, but he is also the bread of haste. Let me show you something. I'm going to here translate. I'm going to read it in Arabic, but translate directly in English. Let me see if I can do that. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the bread of haste. Haste means it's a matter of time. There is not much time. The Israelites had to leave. How does that apply to the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of haste because he only lived a very short life and he had only a short time in his ministry, and he literally spent it in haste. If we measured all the places where he went from place to place, we found out it was very short, and he literally went to it from place to place in haste. And then when the hour of his death came in haste, the clock literally ran in haste. And when the council of priests were gathered, they in haste ordered him to be arrested, and in haste ordered him to be killed. It was Judas who was in haste betraying him. And in haste they arrested him. And in haste they tied his hands. And in haste they tried him. And in haste they sentenced him to death. Peter denied him in haste. And in haste the high priest literally tore up his clothes. And in haste they issued the judgment against him. In haste they gave him to Pilate. And in haste they pressured Pilate to crucify him. He in haste whipped him. In haste they put that cross on his shoulder and made him carry it. In haste they forced Simon to carry the cross for him to Calvary. In haste they nailed his hand and his legs on the cross. In haste they gave him something very hard to eat, which was the vinegar instead of water. And in haste he died. Why? So that none of his bones could be broken. In haste that curtain of the temple was cut in half. In haste the sun covered its face. In haste the earth shook very hard. And in haste they buried him so that they would not be caught by the Sabbath that would come. And then they buried him in haste. And they sealed that tomb in haste. You know, man's haste always results in regrets. For example, Peter, in his haste, he went and regretted. But he, praise the Lord, repented. Judas, in his haste, he hanged himself. And the high priest, in his haste, he disqualified himself as a high priest. And the whole nation of Israel, in their haste, when they said, "His blood is on us and on our children," they sentenced themselves with the worst kind of sentence. But the haste of the Lord Jesus Christ was totally different. Totally different. He literally, in his haste, in his life, first of all, his haste resulted in a perfect life, sublime teaching, fantastic miracles, and most importantly, eternal salvation for mankind. And his haste was crowned by a glorious resurrection, because he literally rose from the dead in haste, because death could not hold him down. He was the bread of haste. And that is most fascinating. That's why it's so important for us to celebrate this particular exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ celebrated it. How do we take the bread? A lot of people take any kind of bread as their communion. I can't do that. Let me tell you why. If you open with me, for example, to Luke chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Luke 12:1. We're going to stay in the first in the New Testament for a few minutes. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. See, there were two feasts really that come together in the same week. The Passover, which is on the 14th of Nisan. And the whole week of that week is the Passover of unleavened bread. So it was the unleavened bread. And the Jews are very, very strict in observing their feasts and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some people say, well, we are in the new covenant today. We don't have to abide by what was demanded in the old covenant. That's very true. But we have to be very true to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. I want to obey that law. And I don't want to have that law having anything against me. Because the law can look at any one of us, said, hey, you have broken this covenant, you have broken this covenant, you have broken this commandment, and you have broken this commandment, and you have broken so many commandments. But when he looked at Jesus, Jesus stood in front of the whole world and said, who of you can convict me of any sin? And here, he was talking to people that were literally were combing his life. Want to know the least thing that they can accuse him with. And they couldn't come up with anything. Because his life was pure and clear. And here the Lord Jesus Christ never broke the law. And if it says unleavened bread, he was going to take unleavened bread. If you would open with me to Matthew chapter 26 verse 17. He said, now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, notice, he used the word unleavened bread. That's the day he was going to tell them how to do the Lord's Supper. It was on the day of the unleavened bread. He said, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover with the unleavened bread? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover. We'll keep it. Exactly as Moses said, don't have any leaven or yeast in your house or eat leavened bread. Because if the Lord ate the leavened bread, he would have broken the covenant. He would not have been able to save us because he would have sinned. Because that was not just a simple sin. He said, anybody that does that, he should be cut off from the congregation of Israel. And the Lord was not about to break such a law. So here we see that the Lord had to celebrate and keep the feast of the unleavened bread by taking unleavened bread on the table. There was no leavened bread in the house. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And again, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us very clearly that he came to do exactly as the law says. Yes, we are not under the first covenant anymore. We're not under the covenant of Moses. But if my Christ did his last supper and offered it to the people in that manner, I think he asked us to do it the same way. It's not a law, but this is one way where we can prove to the world that we are still commemorating what the Lord Jesus Christ did and commemorating his covenant with us. And that is so important. That's why when I started to be a pastor, I said I'll never use regular bread, because I've been in churches where used regular bread. I'm not going to say they're not good Christians, but I don't believe that was a good commemoration of what Christ has done for them.
Besides, how in the world we can use regular bread that has leavened in it, which is a symbol of sin, to besides, how in the world we can use regular bread that has leaven or yeast in it, which is a symbol of sin. So here is bread that has, quote unquote, sin in it, to symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is pure and holy and without sin. That's why it's so difficult for me to use regular bread. Besides, how in the world we can use regular bread that has leaven or yeast in it, which is a symbol of sin. So here is bread that has, quote unquote, sin in it, to symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is pure and holy and without sin. That's why it's so difficult for me to use regular bread. To symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is bread that has, quote unquote, sin in it, to symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is pure and holy and without sin. That's why it's so difficult for me to use regular bread. Christ, which is pure. Bread that has, quote unquote, sin in it, to symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is pure and holy and without sin. That's why it's so difficult for me to use regular bread. Which is pure and holy and without sin. That's why it's so difficult for me to use regular bread.
Cross of Calvary. Because still, yeast is considered by the Bible as a sign of sin. And we were supposed to have been separated from that which corrupts. And that's why, if you would open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Therefore, let us keep the feast." He's talking about this feast, the Passover. "Not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." That's what my Lord is saying. As a matter of fact, you keep that place open, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and go to verse 7. Let me read that. 5 and verse 7. He said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." He always connected the Passover with unleavened bread. And we cannot dissociate ourselves at all from what the Lord Christ did for us as our Passover on the cross of Calvary. And I believe it becomes, since Jesus is our Passover, when we remember Him, we ought to remember Him also with the unleavened bread. Because that makes the whole situation tied up very strongly and perfectly. He is our Passover. And in that same verse telling us that we are not anymore the unleavened. Yes, we are not. That doesn't mean if we are the unleavened means we have to take the bread with leaven and yeast. No, sir. I really believe if God felt so strongly strongly about the Passover and the yeast, against that yeast in the bread, and associating it with the killing of the lamb, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the lamb that lifteth the sins of the world, and then he associated the unleavened bread with the killing of the lamb. And of course, we cannot separate our salvation or our eternity from the Lamb of God that shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We cannot disassociate that. That's why it's so important for us that when we come around this table for a communion, that of course, first of all, we should remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That he really died and shed every drop of his blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And when we remember that, we ought to remember it the right way, the way the Lord Jesus Christ himself did, by using what God ordered Moses in that time, and Jesus, even in his last day, obeyed that by taking the unleavened bread. And then the Bible tells us so clearly in our life. See, as a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us even what leaven means. And he said that several times. If you would open with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude." Wow, what a tremendous preacher Jesus was. People were coming from all over the country and from outside the country just to hear him. "Multitude of people, and so much that they trod one upon another." They were killing each other by a stampede coming to hear Jesus. "He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is what? Hypocrisy. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us more than hypocrisy. It's wickedness, malice, and all kind of sin. It's sin in itself. That's what it is. And then the Bible tells us one other thing that definitely made me adamant on using the unleavened bread in this particular occasion. And that is, if you would open with me, please, to Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. That is an order. It says, "And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, ready to go, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste." Then, if you would go down to verse to verse 34 and verse, no, chapter 20, 34, verse 25. And that's the verse I wanted. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. That's why the Bible is saying very clearly, you cannot remember that lamb, or you cannot even cut in the lamb and bleed it with a leaven around. And here, when we are taking the Lord's Supper, we literally are trying to commemorate and think of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He was literally killed on the cross of Calvary for our sins and spilled His blood. And that's what we're doing right now. And He said, don't do that with leaven. No yeast. It should not be done. And that's why I cannot do it. And I think it's so important. As a matter of fact, He repeated that verse again in Exodus chapter 23, verse 18. He's saying, do not, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifices with leavened bread. He's saying, don't do that. And there are so many pastors that, and many churches, especially in Baptist churches today, that use any bread. They really don't care. Because I don't think they really study their Bible in the depth. If they go just one quarter of an inch deep in studying the Bible, they can find these truths. I did not come with it from my own pocket and sprinkled it around. It's right there in the Scripture. And it is important for us to believe the Scripture, to study the Scripture, and to apply the Scripture. That is the faithfulness that God orders. And then He tells us very clearly something for us now, so that we may remember. And that is, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And I would like to end this particular study with this verse. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Hey, He's telling us, you Christians, you lived in sin, you lived in the world, you lived exactly like the world wants you to live. Now you are different. But the problem with Christians, they come to Christianity, they are saved. Yes, they're going to go to heaven. But the problem is, sometimes they are not trying to get rid of the things that they have lived all their lives in it in the world. I know a lot of people in churches today, they look so saintly. Then they go to jobs. Oh, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm sure I told you that. One time I went to buy something from a hardware store, I guess it was. And I needed to get something, and I wanted the guy to explain something to me. And he was an older man. He looked probably a little older than me. And he started using a lot of profanity. I mean, a lot of every sentence had two, three. After about maybe 2 minutes, I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, sir, wait a minute. I've got to tell you something. I'm a pastor of a Baptist church, and I'd rather not listen to this language. And this guy immediately turned from a very profane guy. All of a sudden, I thought he was literally a Baptist deacon. His language totally changed. And he became so Christian-y. And the problem was that I just wanted to ask him, are you a Baptist deacon? his language changed, his attitude changed, and he became Christian once somebody said something to him. But before that, I mean, he didn't feel it was an obligation for him to live for the Lord. Now here he's telling us, it is an obligation. It's not only in the church, but everywhere. We are the light of the world. And if we are the light of the world, we have to let the light, the world know about it, not hide it under a bushel. Because if we do, we're losing, and the world definitely is losing big time, because they're going to go to hell because of us sometimes. And here he's saying that very clearly. He said, let me read that again. Purge Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. There is something still lagging in our lives. We have to get rid of it. He said, that ye may be a new lump. That's the dough. As ye are unleavened. Yes, we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb from all our sins. Not with all our sins, from all our sins. So let's not bring some of the stuff from the world and let it hang on us. He said, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He shed His precious blood to wash away our sins. Let's not bring some of that sins and let it pile on our backs. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The feast that the Lamb of God died for us on the cross of Calvary. Not with old leaven. That was not accepted by God. That was condemned by God. Not just not accepted, condemned. So let's not bring it back. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's the way we ought to be. Not only on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday. And if we do that, I know the day will come when we see Him face to face. He's going to have a big smile saying, well done, come on in. And that's exactly what we're striving for. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great privilege You've given us to be Your children. Lord, we pray that You help us to live the life that would glorify Your name every day of our life. That when we see You face to face, we will not be confounded, but rejoice. That we can say also, like Paul the Apostle, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course, and now I have the crown of righteousness. Bless us, direct our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.